This morning, our devotions come from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measures of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, that he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continually instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but disconcern to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own consents. Are there any announcements? Let's go to our Sunday school class.
The title of our lesson today is A Call to Submission, and our lesson text comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44. And I'll read that at this time. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, as I said, the title is A Call to Submission. And we have here the greatest act of submission that there has ever been. And that is Jesus submitting into the will of his Father. And we have just a few words here describing the situation, the agony that he was in. Before we go any further with that, I want to go back here, back up to the 39th verse here, and it says that he came out. Now, he was with his disciples, and he came out, I believe it's out of the temple, and he goes to the Mount of Olives, and it says, as he was wont. And we can turn back over just one page here to the previous chapter, 20th chapter, and it speaks about how that he spent the night in the garden. And I believe that it's showing that our Lord didn't have a permanent home upon this earth. He didn't have a house that he went to. He didn't have he didn't put down roots. But rather, he was showing us as an example that this isn't our home. This isn't where we need to be viewing as our permanent place. But rather, we need to be looking forward to heaven, looking to our heavenly home, and viewing that as our permanent place of life. And Jesus was putting that example forth here, because it says, as he was wont, as he often did, he went to the Mount of Olives. And I believe the Bible is indicating that he spent many nights there. And then it goes on and he says, and when he was at that place, that is the Mount of Olives, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. I want to go back here and... Well, this is in the 21st verse in the 21st chapter of Luke in the 34th verse. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged and surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I messed that 34th verse up. Let me go back and read that again. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. I didn't know what the word surfeiting meant. I had to look that up. And what it means is excess, to overindulgence, as in eating or anything, just to overdo anything. And he's saying here, don't let your hearts be overdone with things of this world. Cares of this life, he says. So the reason I wanted to go back to that is because in the 40th verse in our lesson text, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. And I think those two things are very closely related, that when we allow our hearts to be overcome with the things of this world, the cares of this world, the lust and the envy of this world, the desiring of earthly things, that's when we enter into temptation. That's when we allow ourselves to be separated from God, and we enter into temptation, and we're brought down. Now, Jesus was saying this in the 40th verse in our lesson text here for a reason, because he goes on and he says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down. Now, a stone's cast, I'm guessing that this is saying he was separated from his disciples, maybe from here to the wall, or maybe from that here to that wall, just a little piece, just enough to be away from them a little bit. And he kneeled down and prayed. And again, I think this is an example for us to separate ourselves from the world. Not that we have to get in our car and drive out into a mountain somewhere and be miles away from anyone, but rather to just get away enough that the world isn't in our hearts, it isn't in our mind, that we can kind of put that thing off to the side, the things of the world off to the side, that we might kneel down and pray to God. And I believe that's what Jesus is showing us here, that we're to be a separated people, that these things, that these worldly things ought not to be upon our hearts all the time. Now, we can't help but think about things and be concerned with things, and I understand that. And I'm not saying that we ought to be going through life carefree, not worried about anything. Well, we shouldn't be worried about anything, but not be burdened down with anything, but rather that we need to be burdened down with the things of God, be in submission to the things of God. If we would be submit to the will of the Lord as he has given us an example here, then we would be burdened, but we would be burdened with godly things, with the will of God, with seeing lost people saved, seeing our own selves purified and put back in good standing with God. Those are the things that we need to be burdened down with. And the Lord is telling us here how to accomplish that, how to avoid things of the earth, fleshly things, and be able to be submissive unto God. Because it's not our natural instinct. That's not the way we are carnally. We're not submissive at all. And speaking for myself, I think that we're all that way, but I can speak for myself only that I don't want to submit to anything. I want to do things my way. I have a thought pattern, and I think I can do good, and I think I can do what's right, and that's the way I want to go, and that's how I want to behave. The problem is I'm often wrong. And speaking of that, you know, since our title is A Call to Submission, you know, as children, we ought to be submissive unto our parents. And those of us that have children, I don't guess there's anybody here that has small children anymore. But when you had small children, you wanted them to obey you. You wanted them... Okay, got you. I stand corrected. I said, you know, I don't always know what's right. I don't get it right all the time. The point is, and I'm sure you'll agree, you want your child to obey you. You want him to be submissive. And the reason for that is because you want what's best for him. You know, I wanted the best for my kids. I wanted them to grow up right, and I wanted them to do what was right. And I wanted their lives to go well. Now, I failed in a lot of things, and I thought I knew what was right, and I didn't. I was wrong. I made mistakes. The point that I'm trying to get to is God's not wrong, and he won't make a mistake. If I'll be submissive unto his will, it'll turn out good. It will be good for me. I can rest assured of that. Now, when my kids were little, and if they were submissive to my will, maybe it would turn out good. It might not. It didn't always, because I wasn't perfect. But we know that God is perfect. We know that he wants what's best for us. I mean, I don't think anyone here would doubt that. And if we will just be submissive and follow the instructions that our Lord gave us here, it will turn out good for us. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to turn out easy, and I'm going to get to a little bit more on that here in just a second, but it will be what is best for us, because I absolutely believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that God wants what is best for us. And he says here in the 42nd verse, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew what lay in front of him. He knew the burden that he was going to be feeling in his heart. He knew how he was going to be weighted down. He knew how he was going to be treated. And he knew that he was going to be put to death on that cross, I believe. And he didn't want that. That mean that he was a man. He could feel pain, and he could feel the agony. And he didn't desire that. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then in the 43rd verse, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. We today, if we will get in this position to pray to God with our hearts, with all our hearts, and pour out our hearts to him, let him know our troubles, let him know what's bothering us, bring us down, I believe he'll send comfort to us, whether it's an angel or his spirit, whatever the case might be. It might even be one of you going to somebody else and talking to them. You know, we can comfort each other. We can be there for each other. And I see that all the time when y'all stand up and you request prayer. And I stand up and request prayer, and that's a comfort. So there are many different ways that God can comfort us, and he will. I think this was an example here, and I do believe that God sent this angel down to strengthen Jesus at this time because of the burden that he was faced with. But then you go on and you read in the 44th verse, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now this is after the angel has come down. So Jesus was willing to be submissive unto the Father. He was willing to do what God would have him to do. And even after the angel came to comfort him, or strengthen him, it says in the 43rd verse, even after that, the Lord was still in agony. He still was willing to go forth and to go on with what the will of God was. He did go on. But that doesn't mean that from that point forward, just because this angel came down to strengthen him, that it was a piece of cake, that there was nothing to it. There was something to it. It was a great burden for him. It was pain, and it was agony. I'm sure it was something that I can't even begin to understand. And yet he was submissive to God. He did that because he knew that without that sacrifice that he was prepared to make, there would be no hope for us, that there would be no way that we could be back in fellowship with God. And so he was submissive unto God, to his Father. I guess if there's anything at all to be gotten from this lesson today, it would be, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the mindset that we ought to have as saved individuals, because he has done everything for us. He's saved my soul. I've got a home awaiting in heaven. And I need to be of a mindset that whatever it is that he would have to come to pass, that I would be okay with it, that I would be working towards that end that he would have me to work for, and praying unto Jesus, because Jesus went through all these things. He can perfectly understand anything that I'm faced with. He can know and he can see. He has foreknowledge and he has knowledge of the past. So, and you know, when you think about somebody that was willing to give their life up and did give their life up that we might live, there can be no doubt that he wants what's best for us, that he's standing there ready to do what we can't do and to strengthen us and help us through the things that we can do when those things are hard. But we, as his people, need to be submissive unto his will. And there are a lot of things here to study in these few verses. How to pray, how to have our hearts turned to God, how to be a separate people, separated ourselves from this world. And as I study this, you know, we today have probably an easier life than any people has ever had in the history of mankind, because, you know, we have nice houses to live in, we have clothes to wear, easy transportation, heated air-conditioned cars, getting back and forth. I mean, plenty of food. We have it really easy, and yet we also have it perhaps harder than anybody, because we have so many things that distract us. We have so many things that are trying to get our attention, to draw our hearts away from God, fun things that aren't necessarily evil. It's easier for me to resist something that I feel is evil, that I feel is wrong, because I don't even allow myself, for the most part, to go in that direction. But it's a whole lot more difficult to resist something that I feel is okay, to allow the hobbies and the things that are fun to creep into my life and to get a hold of my life. An example that comes to my mind is Brother Armour, how that he loved to go fishing, and he had to give that up, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it was interfering with what God would have him to do, because he couldn't keep his heart from turning to that one thing, that hobby that he had. And I don't think God had a problem at all with him fishing, and I'm speaking for myself now, I'm not speaking for him, but rather the place that occupied in his heart. I have the same thing going on, not with fishing. I don't really care anything about fishing, but just with life in general, things that I want to do, things that, you know, kind of tend to creep in. But our Lord said here, not his will, but God's will be done. That's the way that I need to be. That was an example for me, to be submissive unto Jesus, because Jesus has already been there. He already knows about it. He knows me. He knows me better than I know myself, and he knows what I can withstand and what I can't, what I'm not able to stand through, and he'll be there to help me. He'll be there to see me through if I'm willing to be submissive. I think that's about everything that I've got. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
There's a portion of what was written there on page 28. The next last paragraph there, with the world around us in turmoil, we have a great opportunity to illuminate the world, the true meaning of God and his Son. He goes on down and talks about the light, and how that, you know, the lantern, you know, bright day, you don't pay attention to it. You know. But when it gets dark, it becomes an element of necessity if you want to be able to see. not to get around. And historically, we can look and see that the time that the church has prospered the most has been in difficult times. And in other words, there's a time of darkness in people's lives, either in persecution that's going on or in turmoil of life, that they're more likely to look to the Lord. Everything going good, they just don't see any need. But if things get difficult, that's what the psalmist said, that things of hell got hold of them, I found trouble and sorrow. And a person's soul has to find that trouble and sorrow before they'll ever seek the Lord. And if they don't see a need for salvation, then they're not going to be seeking the Lord. And so we're to shine our light so that when the darkness comes in their life, they're looking for something to grasp hold of. And we have the message then that they're more than likely willing to look at or listen to or absorb in to their own being and saying, hey, I've got this dark time in my life. I need this light. And so we are to be bright and shining so that when the darkness comes to people, that our message will be effective. If we trim our lamps down to where it's not much light, it's not going to even be attractive to them when they're in darkness. So we need to be bright and shining example all the time by being submissive to the Lord to do what he wants done so that he can use us when the time is right to be effective in somebody else's life.
That's right. Anybody else have anything to say? Appreciate y'all being here today, showing up.
I'm just thinking the Lord showed us a good example. And of course, he said, not your will be done, Lord, God, but my will. Not sure what's on my will be done, but your will. Mm-hmm. And we as the children, we should be the same way. But of course, when the thing Jesus could see, he could see the past, and he could also see the future. And he knew he was going to die within hours. And just think about the few new years going to die within hours, how you would be. You didn't know it. It would be a hard thing to face. And I'm sure it was hard for him to face, too. He says his blood, his sweat went down, his drops of blood. Some people said he actually sweated blood. I don't know where he did or not, but I know you get the county hard or situation, it will bring you sweat, even if it's cold weather.
Yeah. There's nothing else. Let's keep the preacher in our prayers. The Lord might be with him. And I'll ask Brother Quinn if he would to dismiss us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's day. We thank Heavenly Father for the sons who listen to our thoughts and want to talk.